Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
His administration is focusing on his efforts to stop illegal immigration. They've posted signs of offenders around the White House. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Each of them has a mugshot. It says arrested, and then it lists the crime that the unauthorized migrant was arrested for.
Congress is back, and Nicole Killian reports lawmakers will get to work on a budget.
This is the president's so-called one big beautiful bill that he wants Congress to pass, and so Republicans anticipate doing this on their own, but they are going to have to work through the details of it in committee.
Charlie Daggett reports on Vladimir Putin's offer of a temporary ceasefire in Ukraine.
We have seen this in the past where Russia has sort of stepped forward. Ukraine, for its part, has said, look, why are we waiting till next month? Let's have a ceasefire now. The White House said, well, let's have a permanent ceasefire.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two more MPS schools will close for lead remediation, joining multiple campuses undergoing cleanup this year. Superintendent Brenda Casilia said today the closures at Westside Academy and Brown Street Academy are precautionary with no confirmed student exposures. The new Super today also announced a district-wide plan to inspect aging schools and enhance communication. Progress continues at Starms and La Follette schools, while Fernwood Montessori has reopened after passing safety checks. Federal authorities have restored visas for 9 UW-Madison students and alumni. However, there are still 15 others that face cancellations. Several students have secured temporary restraining orders amid ongoing court battles over their status. Sentencing is this week for an area woman involved in poaching wildlife. Lisa Hale has more.
37-year-old Jessica Craning of West Bend has pleaded guilty to counts of illegally shining deer and intentionally contributing to the delinquency of a child in connection with her role in the poaching of over 100 white-tailed deer in Dodge, Fond du Lac, and Washington counties. Three minors are charged in juvenile court with the poaching of the deer that happened in Campbellsport, Keewaskum, Lomira, Teresa, Wacosta, and West Bend. Craning will be sentenced on the misdemeanor charges on May 2nd.
A big ship full of tourists has pulled up in Milwaukee. The Viking Octantis arrived at Port Milwaukee this morning, marking the fourth straight year as the season's first cruise ship. The Great Lakes cruising industry is projected to exceed $230 million in revenues, up from last year 15%. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
Bad news for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' Damian Lillard has suffered a torn Achilles tendon in his left leg. An MRI today confirmed the injury. It happened in the first quarter of the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers in their playoff game last night in Milwaukee. Lillard, who turns 35 this summer, could be out for the next year. Head coach Doc Rivers.
That's why you have teammates and family, you know, around them. It's just such a great freaking dude. Like, on a basketball level, but more important, like as a teammate and a father and all that stuff. And, you know, no one deserves it, but golly, you just look at him. And so that's why I feel bad.
The Bucks play the Pacers in Indiana tomorrow night at 5. Milwaukee down 3-1 in that best-of-7 series. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 7-1 to snap a 4-game losing streak. They head to Chicago next to play the White Sox tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Severe weather is expected for most of the state today, but here for us, we're just looking at some scattered showers and some storms moving in later. They should be weakening as they enter our area. Otherwise, today, partly sunny and breezy, with high temperatures scraping the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Monday, back to work and back to school, the 28th of April, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. Start the work week once again. Coming up a little What's Worse for You. And then we're going to finish up what we started on Friday. Major things ahead for Congress. Lots of things to take our attention. The draft was great to have Mike Clemens on hour one talking about the draft. That's important. Damian Lillard out for the rest of the season and probably most of next year. A torn Achilles. Must win situation for the Bucks in Indy tomorrow night. So all that's important. All that's taking our attention. But what we don't think talk about enough is what's happening in Congress and some of these proposals that Trump is putting forward and how that might impact us here in Wisconsin. Speaking of Wisconsin, Dan Schaefer, our great political editor here at Civic Media, letting us know in the last 20 minutes, Donald Trump endorsing Derek Van Orden, Republican incumbent in the 3rd District on the western side of Wisconsin. As Gomer Pyle once said, surprise, surprise, surprise. No, not really. It's not a surprise at all. Rebecca Cook, the only Democrat so far who has announced that she is going to challenge Van Orden. We'll see if more Democrats get in very early, obviously, year and a half out. But Trump, interesting, the timing. Republicans must feel that Van Orden is vulnerable for Trump already to be out there trying to save his guy. DVO. More of that as it comes forward. Right now at 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, we start our drive time weather and traffic check for you. Speaking of weather, first of all, be aware, as we've been talking about all afternoon long, current temperatures across the state of Wisconsin, it is a wide variety. In Superior, Wisconsin right now, it is 42 degrees. 42. Here in downtown Madison, 77. That is a wide variety. So as you see sunshine in parts of the state, unfortunately, that is not a great thing today because of those wide temperatures across the state. That sets up a front. And as that moves through,
the warm air as the sun comes out, and it destabilizes the atmosphere, and that creates some weather difficulties. We've been tracking one cell in particular this afternoon moving across the state of Wisconsin. This storm has a history of 50-mile-per-hour winds and half-inch-size hail. We zoom into live weather radar right now. This is affecting the Wausau area. Right now, this cell is over the city of Wausau. So for our listeners in the WXCO, be aware of that, all the way up to Merrill. So from Merrill, basically all the way down to Mosinee. It just moved through the Mosinee area, and this is headed to the east-northeast at around 50 miles per hour. If you live in Antigo right now, be aware this storm is headed towards you. Wittenberg area, this storm is headed towards you. Gresham could also pick up some of these strong storms. And again, these at 50-mile-per-hour winds, just under the severe limit, so it's not a severe thunderstorm warning right now, but it's a very strong weather system indeed. And just over the last 30 minutes or so, two more cells have popped up in an area where it went through before, just north of Black River Falls. So our listeners on WFCW, the TAP up there in the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, these storms are east of Eau Claire, just north of Black River Falls. So be aware of that. Neillsville area, looks like you're probably going to get hit again, not with severe storms, but with heavy storms right now. These storms are going to continue to pop up throughout the afternoon and into the evening, overnight hours. Be aware, again, some parts of the state might not get much at all, but other places may get some very strong storms. We just want you to be aware of that. In terms of traffic right now in the Madison area for WMDX listeners, nothing really, no road closures, no super slowdowns, but parts of the Beltline, there are some cars that have been disabled and off on the shoulder. So be aware, you might get some gawkers out there that are slowing down traffic, but no major traffic accidents in the Madison metro area at this time. For our listeners on WAUK, Waukesha area, particularly the suburbs, once again, kind of normal afternoon drive time slowdowns on Highway 41 going north and south from I-94 all the way up to alternate 43. So Highway 41 north and south slowdowns there. And also in the Milwaukee metro area, I-43 going north and south, north of the interstate there of 94. You're going to find the normal slowdowns there for you as well. So allow some extra time, as they say, on this Monday afternoon. It is coming up on 12 minutes past. I should say just past 12 past. It's past 12 past. It's coming
up. Past 12 past 12. No, it's 12 past 3.
It's almost 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that. This or that. But of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your opportunity to have your voice heard across the state of Wisconsin on all 11 news talk sports stations of the Civic Media Ready Network. No better way to have your voice, to have your products, your business advertised than right here on Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us to find out how you can join the Civic Media team. Weather, obviously, in the news today, so our What's Worse, timely indeed. Pretty simple. As honest, I may disagree. See what you think. The category for today, no clouds or cloudy. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today, your Apple, Android device. Go to your app store. Go to the search bar. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It won't cost you a dime. We're pretty chill. The Civic Media app. Download it today and text in your answer as well. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. For those watching on Facebook, Twitter, X, Twix, as Craig Ferguson dubbed it. YouTube as well. Great graphic by CP today. No clouds, has a beach, a beautiful beach, not a cloud in the sky, bright sunshine. And the other is kind of a, it actually looks like a coffee farm, if you want the truth. And very cloudy. So what's worse, clouds or no clouds? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Milwaukee. W-A-U-K. Brian, listening in Milwaukee. Brian, no clouds or cloudy? What's worse?
Well, that's a tough one because there's pros and cons to both.
Right.
With no clouds, you got a lot of sun, and it can be, you know, the sun beating down, you can get a really bad sunburn really quick. But then the other thing is if it's cloudy and overcast, the humidity is going to get trapped in the clouds, and then you just sweat like a pig.
Right.
You know. So, I mean, the thing was, I cut the grass earlier today, and it was funny because during the hour of cutting grass, the sun kept coming in and out and in and out and in and out. I was just like, well, you make up your mind for Pete's sake. Either I'm going to get a sunburn or I'm going to be humid the whole time. You know?
Right?
But I would probably have to say, what's worse would be probably the sun being out just because I know I burn like a crisp.
All right.
It doesn't matter how much sun lotion I put on.
Got it. No, I get it. Some people are very sensitive to that. So thanks, Brian. We appreciate your listenership. Thanks for being along with us. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy? Give us a call. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, like Steve in Mount Horeb listening on WMDX. Steve says it depends on the temperature.
That's totally fair.
All right. That's fair indeed. Give us a call. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy? Zomers, you want to weigh in?
I think, yeah, it is a tough one because I think I am genetically predisposed to being an underground dweller.
Were you a hobbit in another life?
A really, really tall hobbit, I think. For many reasons I don't need to get into, I don't tolerate heat well. My eyes are very sensitive to sunlight. And so having no clouds is difficult because I need sunglasses and a hat or I will not be able to open my eyes. And also I'll probably burn and get really sweaty. But if it's cloudy and it's really humid, I will still also get sweaty, but at least I'll be able to see. So I'm going to say no clouds is worse.
No clouds is worse for you. No clouds is worse, you're saying.
For me. But I understand I'm not what you would call normal.
Well, I wouldn't say you're a sensitive person to heat and light. You're better off in a dark, cool room.
Yes, very much
you're
so.
You're like a potato or a rutabaga.
Certain plants.
You live well in a root cellar.
You know, you see all these foods that say store in a cool, dry place, and that's me.
Store zombers in a cool, dry place. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'll see if we get a couple more calls here before I give you mine. Or while we're waiting, here's an interesting fact related to artificial intelligence, one of my favorite subjects. A late 2024 survey found that 67% of U.S. respondents reported being nice to their chatbots. Of those who practice courtesy, 55% of American AI users said they do it because it's the right thing to do, while 12% did it to appease the algorithm in the case of an AI uprising. That is one paragraph in an article entitled Sam Altman admits that saying please and thank you to ChatGPT is wasting millions of dollars in computing power. You can read the full article at futurism.com. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I saw that article too.
Really? By saying please and thank you to your chatbot, you're wasting millions of dollars in computing power?
Yeah, it's just more things it has to process and figure out what's important for your questions.
855-752-4842. Let's go out to the RC quickly. WRCE Whistler in Richland Center. Whistler, you got to make it fast, but no clouds or cloudy. What's worse, Whistler?
No clouds.
No clouds.
Cloudy, actually.
Oh.
Cloudy, because then I can't see the northern lights.
That's a great point. Then if you have clouds, you can't see the northern lights or the Milky Way or anything else. All right, Whistler, we appreciate it. Have a great day out there in Richland Center. I was just out there over the weekend. Beautiful, beautiful country out there. Come on back. We'll wrap up What's Worse and talk about the budget and Congress on the other side. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to Cross Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
WAUK is proud to present the 2025 Milwaukee Film Festival. The two-week fest is back April 24th through May 8th. Whether you're a film fanatic or just looking for something to do with the family, there's something to watch for everyone. From hard-hitting local documentaries to lighthearted international comedies, plus special panels, book signings, and even live score performances, the Milwaukee Film Festival is jam-packed. Head to our website, waukradio.com, for details.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Having fun doing it. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock across the state of Wisconsin. Allball Show on Civic Media. Take a look at traffic around the state. Start of your rush hour. Start of your drive time. In the greater Milwaukee area, I mean, it's pretty far west of Milwaukee. More Wauwatosa area. From the Interstate 94 going east and west, Highway 41, Interstate 41, going north and south, really now pretty much all the way from Menominee Falls all the way down to, west of West Allis and the interstate. That entire line of Highway 41 north and south, lots of slowdowns right now in both directions, really starting to go from yellow into red there, as is Interstate 43 north and south from Highway 94 up to I-90. Going to be slow on both 41 north and south and 43 north and south. So be prepared for those slowdowns in your afternoon commute. Talking about what's worse right now. What's worse, no clouds or cloudy. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Pleased to have Judy with us in Lodi, who says, she's listening on WMDX, says, worse is no clouds. I don't like it too bright and sunny. It makes it harder to see while driving, and I hate being blinded by the light. I'm not a morning person with bright lights at all. So there you go. She's saying worse is no clouds, that she doesn't like the sun. So thanks, Judy. Appreciate you listening up there in beautiful Lodi. Also, Sean back in the RC, WRCE in Richland Center, saying no clouds is worse. The fish bite better on a cloudy day. Well, there you go. From a fisher person, a fisherman right there. And you agreed with that over the break, right?
Yeah, sometimes you got to be willing to sit out in the rain a little bit if you want to get the best fishing time.
Makes them bite a little bit better, right? What's your thought? No clouds or cloudy? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842.
What do you think?
I will, for me personally, because I'm a light, I like light, I like the sun. I mean, I don't mind a rainy day once in a while. I mean, once in a while, it's just, especially during the summer, kind of like an afternoon light, not like damaging, but a nice afternoon or evening thunderstorm with kind of gentle rain I find that kind of therapeutic.
Oh, yeah. To sit out on the porch and just be in that atmosphere and smell that is
right.
Great.
No, I think that's therapeutic. But in general, like, I don't like a string of cloudy days. That kind of gets me down. Kind of depressed. I'm a light person. I like the sun. So for me personally, I would say cloudy is worse. So Zomers and I disagree. He's a no clouds is worse kind of guy. I'm overall a cloudy day is worse for me.
I figured we'd probably disagree on that one, given how much time you spend in El Salvador. And
yeah, well, not lately, but yes.
Well, how much time you have spent in El Salvador.
Yeah, beaches, love that. I like that. It's just, I enjoy it. All right, that was fun. What's worse for today? Join us tomorrow in hour number two for another edition of What's Worse. We started this on Friday. Want to get to it today. Going to start it, pick it up after the bottom of the hour break. Major things ahead for Congress. Want to quickly recap a couple of things we talked about on Friday. One of them are rescissions. Expect Congress to get President Trump's list of suggested cuts, which they have now for current spending items. And they're known as rescissions. Now, the rescissions, it could be up to $9 billion in spending, according to Punchbowl. Great news source. And rescissions differ from traditional cuts by Congress because these are things that are affecting this year's spending instead of next biennium spending or next year's spending. Here, Trump is expected to propose current cuts, including possibly eliminating funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Could affect some 1,500 local public media stations, NPR and PBS. Once Trump proposes the rescissions, Congress has 45 legislative days to accept or amend them. Otherwise, his request lapses and funding stays intact. Number two, reconciliations. When last we left Republican lawmakers, they had passed the first critical step toward expanding and extending Trump's tax cuts in a budget resolution. Remember that? A lot of people voted for that. Wisconsin Republican delegation voted for it. Said, no, we're not making cuts to anything. Well, they're kind of sort of technically right. Because the rubber meets the road in reconciliation. This blueprint opens up the reconciliation process, quote unquote, and that allows Republicans to pass tax cuts and some other agenda items through the Senate with a simple majority vote. They do not have significant time if they want to make the deadline. The budget resolution sets a May 9th deadline for committees to write the tax cut portion of the bill. Doing this will not be easy. The budget resolution left most of the hard questions unanswered. Among them, how much spending must be cut and where those cuts will come from. How much should the debt ceiling increase? Which tax cuts should be added and for whom and for how long? Again, this is why I use the term where the rubber meets the road. Republicans got criticized saying, well, you're cutting Medicaid. You're cutting programs that affect the most vulnerable. And guys like Derek Van Orten and Glenn Grothman and others said, no. Well, again, technically, they're not wrong because what they passed first was kind of the larger scale thing. Now, to achieve those things, you can't move forward unless you make those cuts. But now they have to vote. Now they have to make those cuts in those programs that they said they weren't going to. You can't have it both ways, boys. 855-752-4842. Back after this, we'll get more into the major things ahead for the United States Congress and how it affects Wisconsin. It's the All Bowls Show at Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Potato planting has begun here in Wisconsin, but there are still some worries ahead. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Tamas Houlihan, the executive director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, shares some of the worries that they have for this 2025 season.
I think we've already seen a slight decline in consumption of French fries, and while French fries are not a huge part of where Wisconsin potatoes end up, they are about one-third of the potatoes produced in the U.S. They end up as French fries. And so when consumption goes down and our friends out west in Idaho and Washington and Oregon and out east in Maine, if they can't ship frozen fries overseas, that hurts the entire domestic industry. That'll just flood the domestic market if we're not able to export efficiently.
Houlihan says that though these worries are in the future, currently, producers are feeling like they are in a good place and expect a good planting season. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll see how the market's finished up right after this.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. A slight mix on the close today as cash corn is down 3 1/4 cents at 475 1/2, with new crop corn down 5 1/2 at 450 1/4. Cash soybeans saw a gain of 2 1/4 cents at 1052, with new crop soybeans down 0.25 cents at 1034 3/4. May wheat contracts are down 14 1/2 at 515 1/2, with July wheat down 14 cents at 531. Class 3 milk is showing some gains as May contracts are up 3 cents at 1830 a hundredweight, and June contracts are up 18 cents at 1726 a hundredweight. Barrels of cheese saw no change, sitting at 170 1/2, and 40-pound block also saw no change at 170. And butter went down 0.5 cents at 227 1/2. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with some showers and thunderstorms late, a low in the low 60s and breezy. For tomorrow, clouds to begin the day and maybe a storm, then a clearing sky for the afternoon. A high in the mid-60s early, then falling temps for the afternoon.
Currently at 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it.
That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will dissect all the news from Wisconsin and beyond when Todd Alba joins us. Also, this shouldn't be a thing to wrap up the show. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Monday, April 23rd, 2025, 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Taking a look at our weather situation across the state of Wisconsin. Been tracking some severe, not so well, that's the thing. They're not technically severe storms, but many of these storms, 50-mile-per-hour winds, half-inch-sized hail, according to the National Weather Service. Another, they kind of keep popping up along this same area, say from the Black River Falls area, and then head from there north and east. And so now, once again, another strong storm north of Marshfield, headed once again towards the Wausau area. And then another strong storm right now over Merrill. So those are the two cells that we're watching right now. Again, not technically severe, but strong storms. And also for our La Crosse listeners right now, another line of storms just having moved through the La Crosse area. And now just to the east of La Crosse, headed towards the Sparta and Viroqua areas right now. So be aware of that. Other places, some showers and storms popping up. Nothing super strong right now. But keep an eye to the sky because it's going to be a rough night for parts of the state. And again, some people are going to say, what are you talking about, Todd? Because I'm not seeing or hearing anything. And there will be parts of the state that don't get a whole lot at all. But there are parts of the state that are going to get strong storms because of the fact that in Madison right now, it's 77 degrees. And in Superior, Wisconsin right now, it is in the mid-40s. So we have this unstable air mass across the state of Wisconsin, and that's going to cause some weather problems as we go through the overnight hours into the evening and overnight hours tonight. Checking traffic for you once again, normal to heavy traffic than normal on the interstate areas around the Milwaukee area, particularly going north and south. People try to get north and south right now in the greater Milwaukee area. I-43 from say 94 up to I-90. So that whole stretch of I-43 right now going slow. Be prepared for that. And also I-41 going north and south from 94 pretty much all the way to just south of Menominee Falls. That entire stretch, you're going to see slowdowns there, so just be aware of that. No major road closures, although there are some disabled vehicles around the Beltline in Madison right now, not causing any complete road closures, but some disabled vehicles off to the side of the road may get some gawkers, so be aware of that. Don't gawk, just continue to drive. That's what slows everything down, you understand?
Don't make a second victim.
That's a good way to put it, Somers. Don't make a second victim. Speaking of victims, the American taxpayer, right? Talking about what's coming to Congress now that the Easter recess is over and major things ahead for Congress. Some of these things are not making the big headlines because of larger, kind of more media sexy type of stories. Trump going on Truth Social saying wacky things. But these are things that are going to have to be talked about in the coming days and weeks. What are your thoughts on this new budget coming up, these new congressional votes? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Do you or someone you know use Medicaid? Medicaid. Now, my former party, likes to paint this as quote unquote welfare. Oh, we don't want to give people welfare. Well, it turns out a lot of their voters are on Medicaid. Because Medicaid is not for people, it's not singularly for people who are quote unquote lazy. By the way, that's just kind of a more or less a myth. Yes, of course, you're always going to have a couple of bad apples in every barrel who are going to try to game the system. But I don't want to say it never happens, because then somebody's going to bring up the one in a million case where it happens.
But it's so rare that the benefits far exceed the detriment.
Right. Especially after Tommy George Thompson, when he was governor, in a bipartisan way, created welfare to work. Makes it much harder to, quote unquote, game the system. But most people want to work. Most people want to, they're looking for a hand up, not a handout. And so there are a lot of people in predominantly Republican voting areas of Wisconsin who are disabled. Veterans, for instance. People who went and served our countries overseas. Have PTSD or whatever the case may be. They aren't able to work either fully or at all. And so part of their support comes from Medicaid money. It might be our parents or grandparents who worked all their life, who saved up, who tried to, you know, pull themselves up by the bootstrap, great upstanding members of our community, but in later life develop things like dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever it might be. And they had no choice but to go into elder care, to memory care. Those places aren't cheap, folks. My maternal grandmother was in a nursing care facility last 6-7 years of her life. It can be $8,000-$9,000 a month. A month. And for folks that can't pay it, they don't get kicked out on the street. Once they go into that facility and their own savings is gone, Medicaid takes over. So the future of Medicaid is up for grabs in Congress coming up the next few weeks. As part of the reconciliation process, Republicans will have to grapple with how and whether they want to significantly cut or reform Medicaid. The reconciliation instructions to the House make it mathematically impossible for that chamber to meet its goals without cutting back on the funding of Medicaid. And this is what Democrats have been talking about. And this is what Republicans like Derek Van Orten, Glenn Grothman, and Tom Tiffany, and Scott Fitzgerald have all denied. And as I said earlier in this segment, they get by with it kind of sort of because technically they're kind of sort of right. Let me explain. So The first step was the larger picture, right? But it doesn't delineate how you get there in terms of funding and or cuts. So the Republicans can look at you and say, I didn't vote to cut Medicaid. No, I didn't do that. But Congressman, Congresswoman, you voted for an overall spending bill, yes. But I didn't vote for Medicaid cuts. Which is technically true, because this vote coming up, this is where the rubber meets the road, you see. It's kind of like, I don't even go grocery shopping, right? And you say, well, what should we have for dinner? Well, I would like a steak. I like a filet. And I like a bottle of wine, maybe a six-pack of beer. And how about, though, I've been passing the deli and they make these great chocolate cakes. All right. So let's see. The top of the line filet, that's going to cost you about, well, it depends on where you go and whatnot. It could cost you 15, 20 bucks a pop. So a couple of those will say 40 bucks for two filets. 20 bucks for a bottle of wine. We're at 60. And then the cake is another 10. So we're at 70 bucks. For dinner. And then you look at your debit card, or you look at your phone, or you look at your checkbook. Well, we've only got $40 to spend. So you have a choice, right? You can have the filet and the wine and the chocolate cake and not pay your $70 electric bill. Or you pay the $70 electric bill and, you know, you have hamburger and a soda or something. I don't know. I'm making it overly simplistic, but you get the point. Congress has to do the same thing. They're saying they want filet in terms of the tax cut they want for the corporations, by the way. But now they got to pay for it. So the reconciliation instructions in the House of Representatives, it makes it mathematically impossible for that chamber to meet its goals without cutting back on Medicaid. That's one of the largest things that Congress puts in funding where our tax dollars go. But to make things more complex, stand by. The instructions to the Senate floor, or to the Senate, are far more loose. In other words, the chambers will have to negotiate this part of the Trump, quote-unquote, big, beautiful bill and expect a potentially sharp fight amongst Republicans over those priorities. This is not going to be just a Republican versus Democratic fight. Because the way the chambers work, the Senate can be more loosey-goosey about it. But the House can't. They got to have real numbers on this. So stand by for that. Also coming up, nomination holds. Here's the deal. I like that. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We particularly love raising what may be overlooked. So here's the deal. One by one, a handful of Democratic senators have begun using a Senate procedure called placing holds to slow down or block specific Trump administration nominees, either individually or in large groups. At the minimum, a hold means that a nominee cannot be fast-tracked and approval may be significantly slowed down. It can be de facto prevent a vote on a nominee altogether depending upon the circumstances. Here's a couple of examples. Senator Brian Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii. I'm a fan. He's placed holds on some 300 nominees, including all nominees for the Department of State. Schatz has written that he objects to Trump's gutting of the U.S. Agency for International Development, better known as USAID, as well as cuts and actions affecting other agencies. Senator Ruben Gallego, Democrat of Arizona, has done the same for all nominees at the Department of Veterans Affairs, objecting to proposed cuts for that agency. And see, again, you got to know the backstory, because what you're going to hear from Republicans on conservative talk is, oh my gosh, Democrats hate veterans because they're not confirming President Trump's nominees to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. But the truth is, Democrats like Gallego, I believe he's a veteran, are saying, no. You guys are gutting this agency. You're taking away. So like when you call the VA to make your appointment, or you're trying to get into VA if you're a veteran or a family member, now because Trump and Musk and their made-up agency of DOGE have cut so many people, and we're hearing stories about this now. A lot of people are saying they're calling into the Department of Veteran Affairs, they can't get an appointment, or they're having to wait a lot longer. And so Democrats are saying, yeah, the reason is because Trump's cutting all these positions, so we're not going to put more of your stooges in until you properly fund the Department of Veteran Affairs and stand up for our American heroes. Back after this, we'll wrap it up. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Treat yourself to one of our award-winning entrees at the Machine Shed. Come get your hands around one of our famous pork tenderloins, our most popular sandwich, served either deep-fried golden brown or unbreaded and grilled. Or try our roasted, stuffed Iowa chop that is stuffed with a warm apple raisin dressing and glazed with an apple whiskey sauce. Trust me, you won't regret it. This is Jeff Grunder, and we can't wait to have you over for dinner at the Machine Shed. The Machine Shed, I-94 and Highway 164. Pewaukee.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tallow Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, followed by an important check of our weather. Our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, comes on after that, give you the sports report. We appreciate Clemens coming on our show today. Be aware of the weather. Keep it tuned to your favorite weather source throughout the afternoon, evening, into the overnight hours, as we're seeing some heavy storms pop up across parts of Wisconsin this afternoon. Again, it's kind of been interesting to watch from a weather standpoint, but a lot of these storms have been popping up along the Black River Falls area and then head east, northeast at around 50 miles per hour. Some of those storms have been creating gusty winds up to 50 miles per hour and then some smaller sized hail as well. A couple of cells continuing to pop up right now. Currently looking at weather radar, we can see west and northwest of Wausau right now, right above Stratford, have some strong cells there around the Merrill area, just south of Tomahawk, some strong storms right there right now, and those are heading to the east-northeast around 50 miles per hour. And then southwest-ish Wisconsin, between Sparta and Toma, another strong cell right now that is moving about due east. with some heavy rains and lightning as well. So 77 degrees right now in Madison, where we are in Somerset are at 46, was it, in Superior? So
yeah. Right around there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a wide range of temperatures, and that's part of what's creating some of these storms to pop up. The sun is only going to fuel those storms, so be aware of that across the state of Wisconsin. Quick final check of traffic at this hour. Again, the greater Milwaukee area, if you're going north and south on Interstate 43 in both directions from 94 up to 190, take some extra time or allow some extra time. Both north and south on I-43, slow going right now. It is cleared up a bit to the west of there on I-41, north and south between 94 and all the way up to Menominee Falls, but still some slow spots there as well. On in Waukesha, a couple more disabled vehicles now off the road, so those are on the shoulder, but again, you might get some people kind of gawking there, but it's not blocking traffic directly. And then in the greater Madison area on the Beltline, again, a couple of disabled vehicles off on the shoulder, but nothing that is literally blocking traffic. So that is a check of your weather and traffic update now at 55 minutes past the hour. Want to wrap this up. Well, things, I know this stuff isn't as sexy as what's on Truth Social and some of the big headlines, but I think it's important to keep our eyes on this. These nomination holds, the reconciliation, things that are happening in Congress, and in particular, we're talking about these cuts to Medicaid, which again, to reiterate, this might be one of the most important things we've talked about all day, is that what Congress has already passed in terms of their overall budget, they cannot make that happen without significant cuts to Medicaid. Either A, they can't make all the tax cuts they want happen, or B, we're going to see significant cuts in Medicaid. And again, this does not mean quote-unquote welfare. These are our folks that have worked all their life who are now retired, and might be in nursing homes on Medicaid. It might be disabled veterans. Lots of other folks.
Kids. A lot of kids.
You're right. Thank you. A lot of kids. So if you're concerned about this, I urge you to call your local congressperson. I heard Congressman Mark Pocan talking about this on Tom Hartman's show last week. Somebody called in and said, well, wouldn't it be, I think we should start calling our Republican Congress people and urging them to join Hakeem Jeffries. It only takes five to basically unseat Johnson as speaker and get things done. That's a great thought. But even Mark Pocan said, look, when someone goes to my website and they go to leave me an email, you have to type in your zip code. And if your zip code doesn't match those in my district, you're not even able to allow to use or to leave a message. And he said, because I have two staffers to respond to all that constituent email, and I just don't have the staff to respond to people outside my district. And as a former congressional staffer myself, I know that to be true. So I understand the sentiment, but it's much more effective if you call your own or email your own congressperson, whomever that might be. And of course, in Wisconsin, we have two U.S. senators, one Democrat, Tammy Baldwin, one Republican, Ron Johnson. So call them, email them, and say, look, we're not for these Medicaid cuts, if that's important to you. A couple more of these, one more of this nominee. Senator Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, put a hold on Trump's nominee for U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., a pivotal prosecutor in the Department of Justice system. Schiff argues that the nominee is a Trump loyalist who helped organize the January 6, 2021, quote-unquote, Stop the Steal rally and should be blocked. I agree with Senator Schiff. We know that Trump has pushed against any delays seeking his nominees confirmed, at times threatening to upend the nomination system itself by launching recess appointments. Watch for this area as a possible increased tension in the weeks and months ahead. If it boils, it will boil quickly. Great show today. Appreciate Mike Clemens for stopping by. Zomers also, thank you. Always great work. All of you for listening as well. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition. What's worse as well, stay safe out there on the roadways, but also watch the weather, folks. It might get bumpy later on. Till then, Todd Allball say, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. It could be a critical week for the administration's efforts to win the war in Ukraine. Russian President Putin today said there would be a 72-hour ceasefire next month. At the White House, correspondent Willie James Inman.
We know the president wants a more lengthy ceasefire. He wants the conflict to stop.
President Trump's focus today, immigration. There are signs posted around the White House showing alleged illegal immigrants and their crimes. Nancy Cordes.
The White House is making the case that President Trump is making the country safer by getting these people off the street.
Todd Starnes reports the historic Claiborne Temple Church in Memphis was damaged by a fire.
The only thing left standing, a large stone bell tower. Claiborne Temple, considered to be more than just an historic landmark. Memphis Mayor Paul Young said in a statement, for many in the civil rights movement, it was sacred ground.
It was pivotal in the last days of Martin Luther King. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.